This is Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions with Gerald Yao-Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Ryan Cook.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions, a very special Origin Game 2 edition this week. I am your host, Ryan Cook, joining me to break down all things blue. It's rugby league writer's finest wordsmith, Oscar Panifex.
I'm back, and so is my favourite brother in blue, the man next to me. I'll steal your introduction, Ryan.
Go on.
But JYY, famous New South Welshman, is here today to discuss Origin.
Yeah, I'll take me licks.
Why are you in blue?
I'm in blue today because last week we said that if I got my multi-leg wrong, I would wear a Blues jersey. And I can't breathe in this.
Who'd you take?
I went to the Warriors and they got pumped 66-6. The Devil's number, by the way.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. Look, this won't be staying on the whole show because I can't breathe.
You've never looked worse. You look appalling.
This is like,
it's painted on.
Yeah.
I feel blue.
I thought you've never looked better, in my opinion.
Hey, I know you're going to get a kick out of this, so this is the last time you'll ever see it.
You said last week you're claustrophobic. You're feeling claustrophobic.
Well, we've
we combined both of
them. Yeah, we have. I can't breathe.
It's about to start swinging.
It's a size large, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. We can tell that I've obviously enjoyed myself in
mate, you look
in
good.
Retirement.
Look good, feel good.
All right, boys, yeah. Let's get into some Origin chat.
Mm.
Liam Fogarty's with us as well.
Hello.
Hey,
how are we going?
Hello.
Nice regular size shirt you got.
Yeah, I know. Well, this just runs a bit small as well. I don't like the fit either, but you know, you got to make do, don't you?
Looking fresh, looking fresh.
I feel fresh.
Let's get into some Origin
chat. Fuck.
There's the clip.
Oh man.
Let's rewind back to game one quickly, boys. How much stock do we think either team's going to put into game one? Obviously, Blues were down a man. Queensland scored relatively easily before Suoli was sent off. Yep. Blues did respond though, played some good footy in that second half, then just looked gassed. Do you think either team's going to put too much emphasis on what happened in game one?
No. They leave it behind, I think. And when you play Origin, you've got to take them to game by game. You can't just think about what happened in the last one, otherwise you get complacent. And that's not what we want to do right now as Queenslanders, not a New South Welshman. I've got full confidence that they're going to come out and play some. I think it's going to be a tight game. Yeah, I think it's going to be another tight game. Well, we thought the first one was, apart from, you know, when that happened. But yeah, I think it's going to be a tight game right down to the end.
Mm. Yeah, I think we heard a lot from Billy and Queensland about them not playing the style of footy they wanted to play in game one.
Mm.
Obviously, because of the disruption, I think they'll be happy they took the 2 points. Not the 2 points. They'll be happy they got the win. And like Gerald said, they're on to this week. And I think for the Blues, they'll take some confidence out of some of the things they were able to do in periods of that game. But yeah, we've got an idea of how they're going to use, you know, their back five and yardage. We'll talk about details later on in the pod. But I think for the most part, it's a clean slate for them. There's a lot of guys in this squad for game two who would have been there game one if they're available. Assuming we get to play with 13 the whole time this time around as well. Yeah, I think it's a completely different story.
Just fires you up as a Maroons fan. We put the most points we've ever put on in Sydney in game one.
Mm.
And Bill's raging in the sheds. He's like, what are you boys doing? That's not what we tried to do. That's not what we trained for.
Not what we planned.
So, I don't know. If they come out and play what Billy's actually been cooking up, I'm excited.
You're very excited.
Yeah.
you sound confident. Yeah,
bro, I'm very, very...
That's why the table's levitating. Let's talk more individual players. Who's each team's biggest X factor going into Wednesday night? For the Blues, Lomax was sensational on debut.
Mm.
They lacked a bit of spark, though, through the halves. Looked a little bit unsure on attack coming out of dummy half. Do we think Dylan Edwards is the biggest X factor, or your boy Latrell, Oscar? Moses, maybe?
Yeah, I was going to say Mitchell Moses is probably the guy I would be touting as the X factor in the Blues side for this one. Not only is he going to steer a team around, but I think he's got a great running game in him when he gets a chance as well. So yeah, you got to watch him because once he gets going and he gets builds his confidence, it'll be pretty hard to stop.
Yeah,
Oscar,
I agree. I think probably a combination from a New South Wales perspective. Mitch and Latrell, I think, are two massive inclusions for the Blues. For this one, I wrote in the blog last week, or we spoke about it last week, Mitch is a guy who can play and create scoring opportunities ahead of time. where Nico's really good at identifying those cues that we've spoken about. Moses can actually construct them. So whether that might be, you know, targeting a specific defender at a specific spot on the field, he knows that another defender is going to have to fill up in that position, and then he's ready with some shape to punish that unfamiliar combination of a player defending in a new spot. I think for the Blues, looking to play a lot through Mitch, who's obviously going to get a lot of touches with a seven on his back, laying on that right tram line. And then Jarrell just mentioned, like, short side, Moses' running game is definitely one of his strengths. He loves to sneak down short sides, as does Dylan Edwards, plays a lot of his best footy on that right edge. So I'd certainly be expecting to see the Blues play through Moses a lot, laying on that right tram line through Olakau'atu or Liam Martin, depending on who's out there. And then, if I'm New South Wales, I have two options. Look down the short side with Dylan or Moses, or give it that hot.
I've been waiting for someone to say
spit
that.
On it.
And spinning that thing out to the left edge for Latrell Mitchell.
What are you guys talking about? I'm joking.
He messaged me this morning. He's like, I've got a line here. I'm going to squeeze it in. There it is. It's paid off real well.
Yeah, I think if they can get Luai two or three passes wide of the ruck, coming back to that left edge, they've got guys like Murray, Connor Watson, who can all be that pivot passing involvement to shift it. And then getting Trell early ball to test the spaces between Val and DCE. That's what I'm tipping for the Blues.
All seems good in theory, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds great.
It sounds great.
You've got to see it in practice.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's see it work for you.
Let's just stick with Trell for a second, because we were talking before the show. Fox Sports has done an article stating that Latrell is, how would you put it? He's on par with Patrick Mahomes, LeBron James, elite company in terms
makes
of
my blood boil.
In terms of betting. So I've asked the Neds bookies to give me some numbers on what we're holding on Latrell.
Yep.
In terms of first try scorer, any time, and man of the match. They've just come back to me right now. So first try scorer, we've got $400, 14% of the current book, which is our biggest liability for first try scorer.
Yep.
Any time, we've got close to $2,000 staked on him to score any time, 22% of the cash on him.
Yep.
And then man of the match, a little bit less, about $900. Currently the second worst liability, though, for the Neds bookies. So the article on Fox Sports was talking about how Latrell can basically change the game for the Blues and how he's helped them come into favoritism.
Or that punters think that he can do that. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So do we think Latrell has that much of a difference coming into game two?
No.
Foggs is very passionate, as you can tell.
It pisses me off, man. Like, I'm a big fan of Latrell outside of these 3 weeks, normally, let the record show. But Patrick Mahomes, quarterback, most important position in sport. LeBron James, greatest basketball player of all time.
Basketball. I don't think we can have basketball in this show.
I don't think you can. It's a much more individual sport. Latrell is a very dominant player, but there's 13 blokes on the field, and he wasn't up to scratch to get picked for game one. So I don't see how he can have that much of an effect on this
But in
game.
Saying that, you know, he has had some criticism as well over the last little bit as well. So, you know, maybe they've gone, all right, let's not take this approach. Because we're writing, is it in the New South Wales? Is that where it's been written?
It was a Fox Sports article this week.
Well, look, I would say that they've trying to pump his tyres. They need to, because they've run him down to the lowest over the last couple of months. They haven't given him the flowers that he has had previous in years, because we know what Latrell's like. So I just think it's, you've got to write some nice things. And if you're going to do it, you got to do it while you're playing for the Blues.
It's one thing to write nice things about him. It's another thing to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, one of the greatest quarterbacks like we've ever seen.
Well, whoever's writing it then doesn't know their sports. Yeah, obviously.
They clearly don't get it down there. I think that's what it all comes back to, boys. You just don't get it.
No, but I will say,
not always
it's nice to see him getting recognised, but probably a little bit over the top.
Yeah, I've gone the wrong way.
I think it's a stretch, but I think it speaks volumes about one or two things: either how desperate delusioned maybe New South Wales fans are that Latrell can come in and save him a series, or it speaks on the reputation that he has as a game breaker. We worried where New South Wales points were going to come from. I think it's pretty clear that we're going to throw a bit of traffic at Queensland's right edge.
Oh yeah,
between those spaces between Chez and Val have been targeted in previous series. That's now where New South Wales' best attacking player is. So I think you're 100% right. He's not a Mahomes quarterback running a team, but I think that's probably even more of an interesting commentary on the fact that punters are so convinced that he's going to have that much of an impact with 10 to 15, 18 touches a game rather than a halfback who's touching the ball every
set.
Why
not just stay away from him, like, instead of writing stuff about it? Like, why not just stay away from him?
Because now the pressure's on.
Because his name gets clicks and money for the papers. Yeah.
There's got to be some recency bias there too, and even punters that aren't, like, casual fans are going to be betting on Latrell.
Yeah.
Because that's a name they know. So and that has to play into this.
Yeah, and he's productive. His output over the last month, it's something like 4 or 5 tries and 7 or 8 try assists from 3 or 4 games. So he's in form.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't think that you can put that much pressure on a guy who wasn't picked for game one. And Queensland
wouldn't do that. No. They wouldn't prop up, you know, Murray Talangi needs to score 2 tries this week.
You just don't do it. Plus, the fact of the matter is we know he's a confidence player. So if he doesn't play good in the first 15, 20, we're probably not going to see much of him. Mm. Like, honestly, and I don't like to, you know, I'm not running him down, but I feel like that's a lot of these superstar players. If they can't nip it in the bud early in these big games, it's really hard for them to get into it. And Queensland won't let him. If he doesn't, they won't let him into it. They'll take him out of it any way possible.
They'll make him work.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and take it away from him. What I mean is they'll try and tire him out so he doesn't have energy to have those big outbursts when he's attacking.
Yeah.
Circling back to X factors, let's talk Queensland. DCE will probably be the most obvious answer there. Mm. Maybe the hammer. Pat Carrigan and Lindsay Collins, probably the unsung heroes from game one. Who would you say, Jarrell's Queensland's biggest X factor?
Oh, I'm going to say Ben Hunt.
Nice.
Like, honestly, every time he's pulled, he's done the Dane Gay guy. Every time he's pulling this Maroons jersey on now, he's the guy. Like, he's there every time something needs to happen. He's in plays that are huge for us over the last 2 or 3 years. Mm. He's ready to go again. I was lucky enough to be in camp with him and they're chomping at the bit to get to Melbourne and play this game. So, yeah, for me, it's Benny Hunt, not only because he's a mate of mine, but I just watching him evolve and develop as he gets older. It's just like a fine wine, both him and Chez. And we know what we're going to get from Daly because he gets a chance to stay on the whole game, right? So he'll get into his groove throughout the whole thing. But Ben will start. And then, you know, we get Harry Grant on. But we'll definitely notice when Ben Hunt gets back on because I think he is X factor for the Queensland Maroons.
I picked out him and Harry as a pair. I think the team that Billy's picked for this one, in game one, there was points everywhere. Reece Walsh obviously heavily involved. I think he'll be heavily involved again. But we spoke last week about the kind of chess match of tactical battle that's been going on this series. Madge, a lot of attacking players unavailable for game one, tries to grind out a win with a defensive team. Obviously, that didn't play out. This time around, Queensland are without Selwyn Cobbo, who had 10,000 tackle breaks and line break assists in game one, and Jermaine Hopgood, who's elite at generating second phase play or ruck speed with quick play the balls. Those two are out. So who does Billy bring in? Not Fifita, not AJ Brimson, not attacking players. They bring in Felice Kaufusi, who's going to make 40 really painful tackles.
Ooh, and he
brings in Kirk Capewell, who's going to play 15 to 30 minutes anywhere on the field and do the same thing everywhere, right? To me, it feels like Billy knows New South Wales have to find points in this one. The Blues need to win.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play some footy under pressure. Queensland can do what they've done for, you know, the last 10 years and certainly throughout that 8 straight period, which is kick to the corners, embrace the grind, set it up early to win it late, and just either wait for New South Wales to make an error trying to play under pressure, or they've just got clutch players that have continuously won games at the death. Lindsay Collins in game one last year, catching that ball and giving it to Munster. Mm. Daly Cherry-Evans with a 40-20 in game one this year. Like, you have Queensland has a history of winning those little moments after they've done 75 minutes of work to put themselves in a position. So, yeah, to me it feels like with those kind of grinding, defensive-minded players or squad as a whole, I think Harry Grant and Ben Hunt, what they can do around the ruck to generate scoring opportunities, they're the deciding factors
for them. Yeah, and look, as they get older, like I've just noticed as Dozer has gotten older, his footy IQ is second to none. So he's seeing things that he wouldn't have seen 5 years ago as a younger player. And that's what I think the difference is with him, playing now, because he's noticing where there's lapses on the field, where people are tired. What we talked about with Nico Hines does so well for the Sharks.
Yep.
Ben's doing that at hooker for Queensland at the moment, and he's making it look pretty easily, actually. So, yeah, he's my I think he's the guy.
An overdone conversation a few years ago, but is Ben Hunt a better hooker than he is a halfback?
Well, I mean, we haven't seen him play consistent at club level in hooker, so we can't.
It's hard to say.
We can't judge on that. Because he knows a role, he knows his role when he comes to this Queensland side, and that's the good thing about this side right now. They all know their role, and they don't get it twisted.
Yep.
So, if we've seen Ben play at the Dragons in hooker, I don't know if he changes. I think for me personally, I played alongside him and I've watched him play. I think his best position is in the halves, and that's just what I think. Mm. Yeah, other people might think differently.
Mm. Last question before we move on to some predictions. Will either coach regret not naming a back on their bench? So Maguire didn't do this for game one. Billy's done this now heading into game two.
Yep.
What do you boys think?
Well, I feel like Billy's sort of done it in a way with Dane Gagai at 18. I know he's not on the bench, but
that was my next question.
If it's foul play, then he comes straight in.
Yep.
So, and we know, look, Liam Martin's already come out and said that, you know,
they're
coming for Walsh already. So doesn't that put a narrative into the, like, I know the refs probably don't, you know, read too many papers. Well, they don't say they do, but as if that's not going to come into a narrative if something happens to Reece, you know, they're probably going to be like, well, you said you were going to do it.
Mm.
If it happens to be Liam Martin, well, he's probably getting sent. Mm. Like, that's just the way, I think sometimes you've got to shut up. Like,
and don't give it all away.
Yeah. And I think that's what Liam's done there. He's done the wrong thing because now, they know if Reece does go down, or someone goes down, they know they're trying to come out and get him. So
look what happens if Walshy steps in or something as well. The opposite, he's going to look real stupid.
Yeah, 100%. Like. So look, it's, I think Billy's done it in just a different way. I think that I reckon there will be some foul play at some point from either side that'll take someone out.
That's $1.01, surely.
I just feel like there's been barbs thrown all week.
Yeah. It's been good, hasn't it? Camp.
It's been nice.
Seeing the chat come back.
It is. It's so, I'm looking forward. When do they have that? Actually, have they got a press conference they're doing? I think it might be
the two of them together
tomorrow. Yeah, the coaches.
They're doing a weigh-in or something.
It's literally what they're doing. I think we spoke about this, that they needed something like this when their teams were named.
Yeah. Their selections,
well, they're actually doing this tomorrow, I believe. I don't know what channel it's on, but they're doing it tomorrow where the press conference with two coaches and two captains.
So, who wins in a scrap, I'd imagine, Billy?
Oh, I don't know.
Bill. I mean, maybe. Strict age.
Billy, rules.
I think it's Bill's got him, I reckon.
Age.
He's got the cardio.
Yeah, quick hands.
But if Madge gets him once, I reckon Bill's staying down. He's got that old 10,000 hours. Yeah.
The Bobby Knuckles.
Shout out
to Bobby Knuckles.
Let's get into some predictions. We'll quickly go round table like we did for game one. Mm. First try scorer, Oscar. I know you're going to talk about this in the offload, so don't go too deep.
Trelmit.
Terrell?
Yeah, I'm going to go Xavier Coates. I just feel like a winger will go over in this game, and I'm probably going to be wrong, but that's just what I'm given.
Fogs?
I'm going to take the hammer again. He's my X factor. Thanks for asking earlier. I think there's going to be a lot of focus on Walsh, and I think that opens up a lot of opportunity for the Hammer to go. And his try scoring record's already incredible.
Eight
in
insane.
Five next to no games. Games. Yeah,
16's a record. What was it? GI 16's a record.
16 or 18. Yeah, yeah.
It's insane. Ridiculous.
Yeah, so he's my pick.
Hey Liam, who would be your man of the match? I'm asking you.
Oh,
really? I haven't thought about it. Look, I think Cherry Evans is the obvious answer. I think he's going to steer us around the park like he did game one. He was incredible first game. So, yeah, I'm going to go Chez.
I didn't expect this question.
Benny Hunt?
Yeah, I'm just going to go probably just stay with Dozer.
Yep.
X Factor and man of the match.
Moses. I'll take Moses for man of the match, assuming New South Wales win.
Who's yours, Ryan?
Look, I haven't even really thought about it, but my man of the match, probably Reece Walsh.
Glass houses. You
don't piss off the host.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
A couple of noteworthy trends, though, I do want to talk about. New South Wales are 4-2 in neutral games over the last decade. In the three-game twos, both sides have played on neutral territory. This century, the loser of the opener has bounced back to win. So that's a good little stat for any Blues fans. Let's quickly talk what's going on at Clubland.
Mm.
Even though this is an Origin special, we got to turn our attention to the bottom of the ladder because we've seen the Titans lay on some points over the weekend, and then the Tigers did The same on Sunday.
What's the matter? Parramatta.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, as a result, the Eels are now bottom of the ladder. Is this going to stay the same for the rest of the year? Eels, wooden spooners?
Oh, man. Did any of us tip this?
No.
The Bulldogs.
I did back the Bulldogs to win the spoon. I don't know if I said it on this potty, but at Rugby League Writers, Jason and I floated Parramatta as a smoky for the spoon this year. I wasn't confident. Maybe if we'd known that Moses and Gutho were going to miss 6 to 8 weeks to start the year, then that would have maybe encouraged me to put some money on it. But yeah, they're struggling, aren't they? I think a bit of a response when Trent Barrett took over, but still missing some key players in key positions. I think to me, Gutherson looks like he's playing busted. So yeah, there could be some worrying signs for Parramatta moving forward.
Just in terms of betting, you can still take $2.25 for the Tigers to win the spoon, the Titans $3.25 and the Eels $3.50. So lots of good value out there for the punters. Talking about betting, we're going to come back with Liam and Oscar in the offload.
All the betting trends from around the comp. This is The Offload.
Very special edition of The Offload this week, Oscar.
Why is it special, Liam? Tell me.
It's State of Origin Game 2.
When?
And I think you and every person in your state is a pack of dogs.
Yep.
Let's start.
You mean we got that dog in us?
No, at all. I think you're a pack of dogs. I can't stand all of you. Let's talk about the deciding factors of your Blues.
Yep.
How are they going to have a chance of beating my Maroons?
Oh, yeah, everyone's a chance, aren't they, in a two-horse race. I think we learnt some things about how the Blues are going to play in this one from game one. Obviously, a few different game plans got thrown out the window with that early sin binning to Joseph Suaalii. But I think we learnt that the Blues are going to work out of their own end pretty cleanly. Quite simply, they use their productive outside backs to carry well off kick returns. Tedesco was there in game one. Dylan Edwards can do a similar thing this Wednesday night. And then obviously To'o, Lomax, Crichton and now Luttrell. The Blues, even when playing a man down in game one, they had no trouble working into Queensland territory. Very one out, strong carries with those outside backs. And then even working up around halfway, the width of Reece Robson's passes were allowing guys like Angus Crichton and Liam Martin to get over the advantage line and really generate some metres. So he was quite impressed with how the Blues were able to actually work downfield despite being a man down. I think we'll see more of that again this week, but they've added a few more options or genuine avenues to the try line once they get into good field position. The leg speed of guys like Cameron Murray and Connor Watson, Isaiah Yeo through the middle of the field, and then the ball playing and Mitchell Moses' ability to create ahead of time. I think it gives New South Wales a few more genuine scoring opportunities this time around. They profile well to use the ball a little bit more, playing edge to edge. Guys I mentioned like Watson and Murray can be ball players and get into that pivot position, one off the ruck, and distribute just as comfortably as they can use their leg speed to get in between defenders and generate some ruck speed. So, yeah, I think they're profiled well to do all the things they did in game one, but just better this time around. And then, of course, we've spoken enough about Luttrell Mitchell and his target in good ball for New South Wales on that left edge.
So provided they all tidy up their tackle technique and all 13 New South Welshmen stay on the field,
yep.
Who do you like in the anytime try scorer?
Yeah, I think Trell Mitt is good value, just given how Queensland have defended on that right edge. The spaces between Val and Daly have been targeted before. I think Luttrell Mitchell's a good anytime option, and then Zach Lomax I don't mind as well, just given that aerial target. We saw him score one in game one. I think Moses can build towards kicks like that a little more often this week.
Zach Lomax is the favourite in that market at $2.25, and Luttrell is $2.65. Let's jump north of the Tweed, my preferred side of the border. You reckon Queensland's long kicking game might be one of the deciding factors this
week? Yeah, I think it was probably a difference in game one as well. Daly had that hold my beer moment after Nico tried to slot a 40-20, and two or three tackles later, Daly sends it down the left touchline and gets it in, you know, an inch inside the 20-metre line there. Daly's made a habit out of changing games and swinging momentum with his boot. He finds the grass really, really well. Queensland also have genuine kicking options across the park. Reece Walsh has got a really long boot for a small guy. Tommy Dearden's a good kicker. Ben Hunt and Harry Grant can both kick out a dummy half. So in terms of usually in Origin we're seeing a really defensive-minded, grindy sort of game, very much end-to-end. And I think Queensland, not only have they made a habit out of doing that in previous series, but they've got the squad this week to kick to the corners and really embrace the grind.
Speaking of that sort of play style, Bill's kind of changed the makeup of the team a little bit this week, bringing in Capewell and Kafusi, two boys that you don't normally really notice on the field, but they're two blokes that get through a massive amount of shit work for Queensland and their club teams.
Yeah, and I think reading between the lines of those selections as well, replacing guys like Cobbo and Hopgood with those defensive workers, it speaks volumes about the style of footy Billy wants to play. He's happy to grind out a win in this one.
So let's talk about two more boys that get through a bucket load of work here for the Maroons. Ben Hunt, Harry Grant, our two star hookers.
The best 1-2 punch in the game, probably, around the ruck.
We might never see two hookers like that again. How are they going to be big deciding factors for the Maroons?
Yeah, we saw them take their opportunities to run a lot in game one. Harry Grant in particular loves to follow the third man out of the tackle. So if there's a guy peeling late off the tackle and retreating down a short side, Harry's going to run at him 10 times out of 10. He's creating or taking cheap meters for his team, as did Ben Hunt at times when he was on the field. But they're also folding the line in towards the ball a lot more. And in good ball, Harry's ability to hit different ball runners around him, one off the ruck, consistently compresses the line. And then he's looking to shift it to put Daly Cherry-Evans into a little bit of space on the edge. Jeremiah Nanai almost scored with Queensland doing exactly that in game one. So, yeah, I think not only are they touching the ball more than any other players on the field, but Hunt and Grant, their ability to take quick play of the balls and generate scoring opportunities for the Maroons, I think that's going to be a big deciding factor this week.
More on the Maroons kicking game, the batting back of kicks and good balls. We've got some incredible aerial threats in Nanai, Xavier Coates, Talalongi can get up with the best of them.
Yep.
Talk to me more about that, the idea of batting back those kicks and good ball.
There's been one try off a batted back kick in every series going back 2 or 3 years now. You almost scored one in game one doing exactly that. Xavier Coates batted it back for Val Holmes and it was just, it was deemed a knock on. It's so hard to defend. Like you said, Queensland have genuine aerial targets on either edge, particularly on that right side. I think kicking over the top of Latrell Mitchell and Brian To'o, that'll be a spot for Queensland to target. For that reason, I think Val Holmes in that action we saw from game one is really good value for Queensland to score anytime.
Could be some of the best aerial work we've ever seen at the MCG. let's jump across to the Maroons in that anytime try score market. Is a bloke like Nanai where you're looking then or where who's
Yeah, the space is on that right edge. Val, as I said, Nanai's a good option as well. He got over the top of Tedesco and came down with the ball in game one
but
also.
Anyone can get over the top of Teddy, can't they?
Well, Dylan Edwards is there this week, so we'll see. I like either of those two guys or over the far side of the field. I think Hammer, his strike rate speaks for himself at the moment. Yep.
So just going over those few punters, Xavier Coates, $2.30, Hammerso, $2.65. Yep. Val Holmes, $3.45, which looks value to
great
me.
Great value for Val. Yep.
And then Jeremiah Nanai, $3.75. Yep. All right. Let's jump across to the girls who play in Townsville on Thursday night.
Yeah, we get two Origin games this week, which is unreal. First time ever we'll see a series decider for the women's as well.
And the New South Wales are the favourites heading into rugby league heartland, Townsville.
the cultural hub of Queensland.
Who's celebrating at the Mad Cow on Thursday night?
Yeah, look, I think the Sky Blues were, I'm not going to say unlucky to lose game two. I think it was credit to Queensland doing something that they've made a habit out of doing in the Origin arena, which is putting themselves in a position to win the game in the last 5 or 10 minutes and a clutch player coming up with a clutch play in Newcastle a few weeks ago. That was Lauren Brown who slotted a field goal to give Queensland the win. The Maroons changed a few things from game one into game two, which allowed them to win it. Ali Brigginshaw playing back at halfback, getting her hands on the ball, whereas she'd played at lock in game one. And then the elevated role of Lauren Brown and Emma Manselman coming out of dummy half for the Maroons. A lot of genuine ball players and a lot of speed around the ruck, which caused some issues for the Blues. That being said, I do think the Sky Blues are deserving favourites at $1.70, and I'm on that price. I think 1-12 is probably also a good look if you're a New South Wales fan. Isabel Kelly on the left edge, the captain for the Sky Blues. She's run for about 200 metres in every game so far this series, but is yet to cross the line. I like her at about $3. And Tamika Upton, as always, will be a good try scorer tip for the Maroons at $2.35.
Very nice. So are you obviously predicting two New South Wales wins this
week? This
week,
yeah, I guess I am.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. It sounds like I'm being biased, but I do think both of those squads profile well to get the win this
week. Punters, this could be the week not to listen to Oscar. I think he's got that horribly wrong. Look, really looking forward to this week. Yep. I hate your guts, and I can't wait to
only
see you next
for
week.
A few days,
yeah,
though.
We'll have a cuddle later.
Who decided to give him his own segments? It's time for Fogg's Fast Five.
He's back from a little bit of a break. Fogg's Fast Five. He's got another list for us, and this one, it's Origin themed.
Well, yeah, favorite time of the year. It's rude not to do an Origin one, and we've got a couple of great wingers at the table here. I played
that's me.
For Griffith Uni 1 year.
And Gerald, did they pick Uni Queensland Origin size?
There was residence, and then there was a URL Q one. I was assistant coach of that one time. That was pretty sick. Thanks for asking. Look, I was. Fogg's Fast Five this week.
Greatest representative yeah. personal oh moments God. For Liam.
We beat the British Armed Forces, if anyone was wondering. I want to give a shout out to some unsung Maroons wingers of the last 20 years.
Yes. And what's the criteria here?
You had to have made, there's obviously a few, but you had to have made at least 10 tackles.
Oh. That's not me. That's not me.
So,
have you checked the stats on this?
Yeah.
Have you checked mine?
Yeah. So I'm going to start.
I don't want to know.
Look, Willie Tonga, 8 games. He played from 2004 to 2011. Scored 3 tries in that time. One of the great footy Tarzos, Willie Tonga was back in the day.
Bring back Tarzos.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to campaign for that. Brenko Lee is another one I think deserves a shout out. He came in and did a massive job.
These centers or wingers?
These are wingers. Oh, he played on the wing.
Okay.
He did a huge job in that 2020 series, and he made I think 11 tackles.
11?
Yeah.
In one game?
How many missed tackles?
What? That's irrelevant. We don't need to talk about that.
That's ludicrous.
Another one of the great footy Tarzos, Reece Wesser. Yeah. Played fullback in the 2004 series. Oh, yeah, actually.
Yes, very, very much so.
Big fan of how he used to play. He played on the wing game 3, 2006. Doesn't get as much love as he should, I reckon. Used to rip and tear on Rugby League 2.
I was going to say, can't be tackled. Couldn't be tackled.
Machine.
Yeah.
Dead set try machine from the 2010s. Played for the Bronx, Darius Boyd.
Yeah.
Deserves a lot of love.
Is he trying to stab at me again?
Yeah. Well, Ryan fucking spoilt the punchline. So I almost don't want to do it.
We didn't explain it.
Yeah, it was almost like I'd written a full thing and you just don't worry.
This is shit anyway, so it's fine.
Look, Boydie scored a few belters for the Maroons. They weren't all just catch and put downs playing outside GI. And then lastly, another absolute flyer from the Bronx back in the day. Don't see a lot of him at the moment, but I reckon he's still got a bit to go about him. Corey Oates, 9 games, 3 Origin tries.
3?
Yeah, 3 tries. So there you go. Thanks for... Thanks
can you tell me how many?
Me to the punch,
can you tell me how many tackles I did make?
9
in Origin.
Nine.
In Origin, really?
You chased down Jared Hayne though. There was that iconic
that's a
one.
Plus 2.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you that one.
Well, they got him eventually.
It's on YouTube. So. Yeah, that's sorry. That saved the segment.
Surely they get one up this week. It's the NRL podcast multi.
Time to talk the dreaded multi that still hasn't gotten up.
No, you don't
since.
Have to treat it like that.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I kind of do.
No, you don't.
You bring so much negativity.
Yeah.
Imagine if Madge brought that much negativity into game.
Oh, I hope he does.
We lost one early last time, so that'll probably happen again. No.
We've tried to be positive.
I feel like
we're not positive enough.
Okay.
I feel like we are negative to it.
Maybe we need to go like talk to the full moon, get some crystals out,
really do some sunning, some mooning.
Yeah.
Or you is that when
get
you
that digital download right in my ears?
Is that when the sun gets in your butthole? Yeah. I actually want to try that. I don't think I've ever tried that.
That's your next punishment.
not for me, for you guys. Because we're gonna have to see
it. Good for content.
I can't just do it myself and be like, hey, I did it, guys. Someone's got to be there.
We can set that up.
Yeah.
Let's recap.
Rich? Yeah, come with the camera, Rich. Meet me in my house.
He's giving the thumbs up, listeners.
We'll recap last week because we had three legs from the same game. Oscar, what did you go?
I took Marata Nikore after he came very close a few times.
No, we don't want to know if he came close or not. It just didn't happen, right?
No, it was
my... That's negativity.
Yeah. No, we're just asking him a question. Yeah. It didn't work, right? Neither did mine. No. I went head-to-head. 66-6. Yes. You're kidding.
Almost more points than the Aussies scored against the Afghanis last night. That's wow.
My gimmick bet of Bo Firma got up.
Yeehaw.
And Foggs, you came good with the Roosters -8.5 against the Dogs.
In the wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the wet, yes.
Port Mac.
Well seen.
Yeah.
Do we want to read the rest?
Yeah. Read them.
JYY, 3-4.
God, I've got three right this year. That's good, man.
Yeah. Oscar, really? 6-11.
Yeah, not much better. Yeah,
6 right.
Yeah.
That's my dog.
Thanks, my dude.
Foggs is coming good. He's nearly at 500, 8-9.
Yeah, nice. Congrats, man.
I'm locked in.
And I'm just flying along at 11-6.
Nice. 11-6. Well, really good stuff. Yeah.
You're a superstar.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Let's do an Origin multi. I have forgotten. Foggs, you're going first.
Yeah, I'm
on the double.
I'm a big fan of these new duos markets that Neds are rolling out. You can combine any two players to combine for one, two, or three tries. So I've taken the Hammer and Reece Walsh to combine for one try at $1.70. So you only need one of them.
What would happen if they both put it down at the same time?
Is that a forward pass?
These are the questions.
I don't know. I'm just. That would be interesting.
Team tries a forward pass. We used to play at school, like because you'd get a big
get
breakaway.
Get around. Yeah.
Oscar, you're next.
I've taken Latrell Mitchell. I've spoken about him enough. Mm. I think. Yeah. Anytime,
Gerald.
I've gone something different because I've also looked on the app at Neds, and I love the work that they're doing.
Company, man.
Absolutely love the work that they're doing. I've gone a player points multi to put mine in. It's Valentine Holmes to score 8+ points in the State of Origin 2, and that's a $2.10.
It's good value.
It's great value.
I'm going Zach Lomax, going back to the well anytime. Yep. So to recap, we've got the Hammer and Reece Walsh to have 1+ tries combined from Foggs. Mm-hmm. The Latrell Mitt anytime. Valentine Holmes to score 8+ points. Zach Lomax anytime, $18.20.
Yeah. It's a good multi, this one. Mm. I actually, look, we've gone away from what we normally do. Mm. So it's something different, guys. So, yeah. Hey, jump on.
What was it paying? You said
$18.20.
That's not bad at all.
Where can we find that multi, Oscar?
In the... On the app, on the website, in open groups, and probably on all of our profiles because we're all going to get on it as well.
And what do we do when it gets up?
Hot tool! Spit on that thing!
And salute the winners.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I think we're going to name the episode that this week.
Hot tool. So. Who is this girl? I want to know who she is.
Find her immediately.
I showed my wife this, and she goes, she's a liar. Because I never got that.
Oh, shit. Boys, time to wrap up. What are we looking forward to this week?
Just Origin.
Yeah, stinging for it.
Yeah. I would like to wrap up the series. It would be great. Haven't done a whitewash since 2010, so... To come to Suncorp, you know, to win at this one and then come to Suncorp Stadium and raise a shield at home would be lovely. But also for, you know, I suppose for the theatre of it, you know, it always is nice. I've already bought tickets to a game three as well. So
When was the last time we had a series decider?
Last year? Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind. Cut that out, please. Yes. Thanks. I'm looking forward to the girls' Origin this week.
Oh yeah,
We talked about that a lot in the offload.
Yes, we did. Sky Blues came very close in game two, but Queensland kicked a field goal in the pouring rain. Another iconic Queensland win in the last few minutes. Mm. Chapter. So yeah, really looking forward to see the girls have their first ever 3-game series and a decider up at Townsville on Thursday night.
Foggs, what time are you sneaking out of the office for a beer this week, mate?
No, I'm actually heading down to Melbourne tomorrow.
Yes. Oh!
Very jealous.
Yes, the lovely people at Neds are sending me down. We're shooting a bit of content and I will be there.
Uncle Ned.
Yeah, shout out to Ned. Shout out to all of the council of Neds that are sending me down. Mm. So if we win, they're letting me loose out the front of the MCG. So that might be the best content I've ever done. Keep an eye out.
You went to the G last year, didn't you?
I went and saw Collingwood Geelong down there. I sat in the top row, last row, and I fell asleep about 2/4 time.
Yeah, that's fair.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
This would be very different. I can't wait. We're going to go 2-0 up.
I was going to say, if you're not doing anything, I'm at the Pig and Whistle to go down there. And watch the game from there. I've got a Q&A down there with Michael Hancock, two great wingers. Ooh.
Which pig?
Together.
Which pig?
Riverside. Yeah. Five premierships between me and him too. So
yeah, wow.
If you want to come say hello.
How many State of Origin tackles?
Anyway, I don't know. Well, 9 plus all the ones he made. Not sure.
Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, JY White. Thank you, Fogs. We'll be back next Wednesday.
Queenslander!
Thanks for listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcast? Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.